Welcome, everybody. I'm Kinda Kiefel, and I'm here with Robert Sickles, and this is the Cold Open Mini number 36. We're going to be talking about the Snyder Cut Chapter 4 Change Machine. And Robert, overall first impressions of the Change Machine chapter?
So this is the chapter that does the most heavy lifting, and in some ways I found the hardest chapter to watch. It has to explain so much. It just has to explain so much backdrop. So for example, it explains the mother boxes. It explains why the others didn't wake up once Victor Stone woke the one up to resuscitate his son as Cyborg, and it's because Superman was alive, right? And so it explains that, and there's just like a lot of stuff in this that is just explanatory exposition, which I felt like really slowed this section down. And I would be lying if I said I didn't really enjoy the first three sections of the film. And this is the section that begins the inexorable downward decline as concerns my pleasure for what is to come. How about you?
Yeah. No, exactly. The word that kept circling through my mind is obligatory. It felt like, you're right, there's some back explanation. It felt longer, even though it's not as long as chapter or part three, that there is a lot of explanation. There's some interesting pieces that it touches on. But I have to wonder too, I really don't understand why, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, what the gravity of Darkseid being in disguise actually gives us as far as a reveal, because I feel like there were a couple of pieces of this section that were trying to be like, ooh, big reveal. And that's one of them that had absolutely no weight to me. And I'd love to hear your feelings on that. Did that matter to you that we don't know that it's Darkseid and it's a stand-in for Darkseid, and then, oh wow, it is Darkseid, something, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, he's got that liege, basically, that Steppenwolf communicates to the liege, who we assume is communicating to Darkseid. But I had read the comics, not that their comics are specifically based on this, but when earlier Wonder Woman goes into that shrine, when the arrow is in it and she sees the paintings on the wall, Darkseid is clearly in there. So if you're a comic reader and you recognize the character, then you know it's Darkseid. If you don't read the comics, which I'm assuming most people aren't hugely familiar with this, even he is well known to comics folks, but it's not like Superman or Batman. Darkseid is not this culturally prevalent figure. I don't know that it matters. I don't know that it matters. And he is really frustrating to me because he is literally Iago, right? There is no justification for his monomania other than an inherent desire to rule the world, right? Just to like have all power. So when you compare him to Thanos, while Thanos is by definition the Mad Titan, right? He wants to eliminate all life in the galaxy so those who remain can have more resources, etc. So crazed, but at least there's we understand his motivation. He actually thinks he's doing a good, whereas there is no motivation for Darkseid, none other than like, I want to rule the galaxy. It's just dumb.
It is, and spoken as if we're supposed to understand what the anti-life equation is if we're not familiar with the backstory is a little tough and a little flat. It's so hard to, I guess the word would be, connect with that particular villain. And at the same time, when we see Steppenwolf with his armor off, he kind of looks like a frog, and he has cute eyes. They give him shiny cute eyes. And that is so obnoxious to me, because are we then supposed to have empathy for the lieutenant because he's just trying to make his boss happy? Like, there is such a weird power dynamic that matters not at all. And you're right. Like I can't help but compare everything to Thanos, but there's something lacking in the villainy here and the minions, as we discussed before, but specifically that dark side reveal, I was like, I feel nothing, you know, it just was a hard one for me. And I appreciate your thoughts on that. And film sequence wise, I really absolutely love the cyborg sequences, the sort of storytelling pieces that follow his consciousness, right? And his sort of plane of being. And I know we saw that in the last chapter, but I feel like the way that we follow Cyborg and the way that we follow his thoughts, I think is a particularly elegant piece of this kind of middle section, right? What did you think about the Superman reveal, right? When they're standing around the mother box and they're figuring out the mystery, was that obvious to you that that's what they were putting together as far as what change machine means?
I don't know, Kinda, if it's because I'd seen Justice League or if you knew well before the original Justice League was released that Superman would be reincarnated, risen from the dead. So I don't know. I don't know whether I knew it because the movie was cleverly constructed in a way to give me that reveal, or it's just something I knew going in. It's hard to say because I definitely had that foreknowledge.
That was an exciting reveal to me, in huge contrast with the dark side thing. Seeing little Superman projected on the top of the mother box was kind of an exciting moment, because I don't know if I just wasn't hanging with it, but I just really liked the way that was put together. And I appreciated the writing in that part where they're saying, you know, turn the ashes back into a house kind of, I loved the sort of haiku poem of that, Superman resurrection reveal. So
even as I had problems with the section, there's stuff to like about it, but let's talk about the problems.
Yes, please.
Because there's a couple big ones. One is, I'm just going to say this, no offense to her wonderful career, but Amy Adams is a terrible Lois Lane.
Yeah.
She is unbelievably miscast as Lois Lane. She looks nothing like the Lois Lane in the comics, which I could care less about, right? You don't have that. That's fine. She's a brunette. You can be a redhead. That's not the issue, but she just doesn't fit the part. She just doesn't seem to do it. She seems kind of like a weak sister in some ways. And Lois in, you know, the 40s is always being rescued, right? She's the damsel in distress. And while that still has happened contemporarily, she's become a much more like empowered woman with agency over time, in a way that Amy Adams' sole function is like to remind Superman who he is. So I really think she's poorly, poorly cast, poorly written as well. Maybe that's a better way to put it, but she is just a milquetoast character in this, a non-entity. And then why the fuck does Martian Manhunter give two fucks?
That was my next question.
Lois Lane, right? Like there is no logical like justification that Martian Manhunter would care that Lois Lane needs to re-enter the world as well.
Right. Baffling. And that, am I correct in thinking that this is our first view of him, right?
Yes.
When Martha turns back, man, that bothered me. Why? I cannot figure that one out. And he's like somehow sentimentally attached to her well-being. I agree. I actually, she's, as we said, great at sad eyes, but I honestly feel like she's basically playing her part from Sharp Objects without the alcohol. But I was trying to understand. It's so miscast, in fact, that I kept forgetting she was Lois Lane. There's such a weird absence there, right? And even in contrast to Martian Manhunter being Martha, but Martha as a character, as Superman's mother, how much easier and immediately our connection and our sort of like wish for them comes with her presence. I don't feel that from the beginning with Lois Lane. That is such a tough, there are several other, do you have another casting that you would have chosen for Lois Lane, just out of curiosity?
So I don't know if an actor per se comes to mind right away, but you need somebody in my eyes with more of a spark. She does not need to be sexualized, but there you need to believe that there is a physical connection between them as well as a spiritual one. There doesn't seem to be any sense of attraction.
No, chemistry lacking. No, absolutely. There isn't. And a sort of weakness that I kept thinking, I can't really picture her being able to handle Superman. As far as just, yeah, spiritually, romantically, whatever, like there is such a sort of caving in as far, but a stronger presence, even like more argumentative, I don't know, but I agree. I'd like to think of a casting actually at this point, but fantastic though. I think that's a really good point. Do you want to add anything else before we go to the next chapter?
Yeah, just a couple things, but about Lois Lane again, like I guess the idea is she's like normally human and that keeps Clark in touch with his human side. Like keep in mind both Amy Adams and Diane Lane, while really beautiful people, are not made to be beautiful in this. They're not made up the way Hollywood folks normally are. And so there's like a real natural earthiness about them. So I suppose it's the attraction, but it still just doesn't work. Even Margot Kidder, way back in the original Supermans, she was an excellent Lois Lane.
Oh, good. Still my favorite, honestly. She's perfect as Lois Lane to me. Yes, because she's very regular, but also like, I felt like an undeniable chemistry between the characters. So yeah.
The other thing this chapter does, and then we can let it rest, is the gang is finally all together.
Yes.
Right? They go to find Steppenwolf, and the missing link, so to speak, is Aquaman, who shows up at the very end. So the gang is all together. But the one scene that I want to point out that really perplexed and confused me is when they go to what they call the nest, right? The parademon nest to find Silas Stone. They walk up all these flights of stairs, and all I could think of is like Cyborg, Flash, and Wonder Woman can all fly or go really fast. So why are they walking slowly up multiple flights of stairs? Is this deference to Batman?
That's such a great point. You're right. Well, even talking about who's going to fit in the car, but you're right. When they arrive at Stryker's Island, that's such a great point. I had the same feeling when Wonder Woman drives a car to go meet Cyborg. I was like, why? There's nobody on the street and you could have gotten there like that. But I think you're right, because Batman is noticeably slow even for a normal human in that suit, right? So no, great point. Thank you for that observation. Yes, in the nest, right? Which I will say the villains are quite merciful to just kidnap people. And when they seem like merciless killers, I was like, oh, that's sweet. They let the janitor live. So no, thank you. Well, I really appreciate those observations. So for Robert Sickles, my name is Kinda Kiefel, and this has been the Cold Open Mini number 36, chapter 4 of the Snyder Cut. We'll see you next time.